It's 54 degrees in Kalamazoo, 307. And that means it's time for yours truly, Jeremy Lawrence, 590 WKZO. And along with me today, producer extraordinaire...
Michael Loudon.
There you go. See, you always just sound anticlimactic when you say Michael Loudon. Yeah, you know.
Sorry, I wasn't more excited.
Yeah. Well, you've had plenty of excitement this weekend.
I definitely did have a lot of excitement.
So, and for those wondering, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this at all on Friday because it was a secret.
Yes.
And because the Tigers were playing, you know, so that was kind of the way.
They covered up the secret very well.
They did. They did, you know. But you had something a little interesting happen over the weekend. So just share that with people, if you don't mind.
Yes. I've been dating Kathleen Miner for 5 years, and I finally decided to pop the question to her, and she said yes. So we are now engaged.
There you go. All right. I would give you applause, but it would sound strangely like a golf clap.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. So I'm sure there was some cheering out in the audience somewhere. Anyway,
yes, so. My Facebook has been blown up big time. And might I say I was a nervous wreck most of the day on Friday.
You showed it here.
Yes, I did.
And we were talking at one point, and you said something. I was like, he really looks nervous. What in the world's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I have to sit here and go, Michael, you're not fired, okay? It's all right.
Yes.
So, well, anyway, congratulations to you.
Thank
publicly,
you.
And I'll try not to make fun of you too much. Yeah, I will.
It's okay.
See, you're such a good sport. You actually take this, you know.
I just let it roll off my shoulders. And might I say I ran a 5K race the next day and about a half mile in the race, I was out of energy, but I know why.
Now, there you go. So, anyway, congrats to Michael, and feel free, as you call in today, to congratulate the man. I'm sure he would appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to, but if you want to, you know, you can do that.
I would love it.
He's got an ear-to-ear smile. It's just that kind of day for him. So, but anyway, it's a great day for us because we get the opportunity to spend some time with you. And lots of stuff we're going to be talking about today. You know, a little bit later, I wanted to dig into some of the spending and education, because there's been a couple of different things that have come out in recent days, and we want to talk about that. So that's coming up here in a little bit. In just a minute or two, before we take care of a couple of orders of business here, we're going to be digging into a report on wage fairness and what they're calling the gender gap. The gender pay gap.
Mm.
So we'll dig into that here in just a little bit. There's some interesting facts on both sides of the debate. We'll chat about it and take your phone calls and your texts as well. Also, coming up a little bit later on in the program, I've got 4 tickets, and this is a movie I want to go see.
Yes.
This one is the previews look terrific. I'm an absolute football nut, even though it's the Cleveland Browns that are featured in this thing. I'll go watch it.
Maybe the Cleveland Browns should hire Kevin Costner and have him run the team.
You know, they couldn't do any worse. So, and it'll be interesting to see how this movie turns out. The previews look fun on this. It's called Draft Day. Kevin Costner, he really has not been in too many movies of late. He had like an action movie that came out a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, he's been not doing a whole lot.
Well, wasn't he in the new Jack Ryan movie as well?
Was he in that?
I thought he was
in that, wasn't he? So, I think so.
Yeah.
But he's getting back into things a little bit. So this one should be fun, and we've got 4 tickets to it. Now, I'm not giving them away right now for anybody that was reaching for your phone. Put it down. That's fine. We're not giving away right now. But we're going to give them away a little bit later whenever Michael can stop smiling long enough to come up with a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. He just likes to do it. I don't know why.
Yes.
But he'll be coming up with one of those, either related to the NFL, Kevin Costner, or wedding preparations. Not sure which one,
yes.
But he'll take care of it one way or another. So those coming up. Also, this one, it's a little late, obviously, because this happened on April Fool's Day, this video, but it exploded over the weekend. 3 million views, and it happened just up the road in Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
This was class at Aquinas College. And they decided to play a little trick on the professor. The professor of this class has an interesting classroom policy. If someone's phone rings, He makes them answer it on speakerphone so that everyone can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just say a prank was played. It is priceless. I am not going to ruin it for you on the air. You just have to check it out. So it's our video of the day. It's at WKZO.com. You just go below the news section. You'll find our blog section. You'll be able to click on that. Or just go to our Facebook page. There's a link at the top of the page. You can click there. We've got it posted there as well so that you can check it out. The classroom April Fool's prank. Yeah, it's a few days later than April Fool's Day today, but you know what? It was a great, great bit. You'll want to see this without a doubt.
It was hilarious.
It was good. So and you watched it too. I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. I figured you were just going to give me the blank smile. Yes, I haven't watched it yet. No.
Nope. I watched it before I came in today.
There you go. See, you're getting prepared again. Man, you're awake or something.
Yes.
Okay. So check that out at the website wkzo.com. Right now, I wanted to dig into a little bit. This is a report that's come out that says the pay gap for women begins immediately after they graduate college. This is according to a new study. The American Association of University Women examined salaries 12 months after graduation, came out with a report, and said that male graduates were making on average a salary of $42,918 at 1 year post-graduation, while women earned on average $35,296. Now, the interesting thing about this, and this dovetails interestingly with something that President Obama has said over the course of time, where he says that women make 77 cents for every dollar that a man earns. And he made that statement during his State of the Union address and continues to cite that. Now, one thing that this particular study notes is that some of the gap in between those figures that we gave you is a gap that accounts for choice of career and choice of field. And I'm glad that they cited that, because that is one thing that when President Obama said what he had to say, he really didn't cite that. He just said, well, here's the stat, and threw it out there for people to talk about. Well, one of the things that this report differentiates a little bit with is choice of career and choice of field, and points out that there's an awful lot of women that choose education as their field of choice. It's just happened, no right or wrong, it's just there. And how men will basically pick other choices, and the results are that there's going to be a gap there because there's a gap in pay in different industries.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, now, what that does is it knocks it down by two-thirds. Said there's still a one-third gap there. And I would say if there is a gap like that, and it is because of something like, well, we're discriminating because she's a woman coming to work for us, that's bad.
That's very bad.
That's bad, and it shouldn't be done. But this is the kind of thing that, and the reason why I bring it up is to dig into it a little bit, because if you just go with what the president says, well, 77 cents on the dollar, it sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds awful. It sounds like we are the worst people in the world. But that's why you dig in a little deeper. That's why I wanted to bring up this study. Now, the study will still say, and in their case, the study is saying it's an 82%. It's like they earned 82% versus the 77% that the president mentioned. And they still say, all right, two-thirds of that is because of career choice and choices made by women in the career, how many hours spent in the office and things like that, versus just the, well, here's the numbers. Because in that case, it'll present, okay, well, here's the numbers. All right, there's an awful lot of women in education. Well, there's more men in Congress. And you know congressmen make a ton more.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're comparing apples to oranges there, it looks like, oh, what a horrible gap.
And there's such a huge gap between those two.
Well, and there's a huge gap between congressmen and anybody, really.
Yes.
Because let's face it, there's a lot going on there. But it's something that, as you look into it a little bit, you want to dig a little deeper. And the other fun thing about this is the president talks about, let's close the wage gap. Guess what? In the White House, women make less than men.
Hmm.
So here's the thing I would suggest to the president, to anybody involved in this, is, you know what? If you're going to do this, make an example of yourself. Say, all right, you know what? While we were digging into this, we noticed we had a problem at the White House, and we're fixing it right now.
And giving equal pay.
Yeah. And that kind of thing would speak volumes for the issue. To say, all right, we noticed it, and we're going to correct it. Our bad, we're fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And some of that, too, might be that, you know, that women are in different positions in the White House versus some of the men. That'll throw it off no matter what. But ultimately, if you want to have an impact on this issue, you've got to step up and say, we're going to set the example. We're going to lead on this one. And, well, let's face it, the president leads when he wants to lead on certain issues. I mean, there's certain things that he'll say, well, yeah, we're going to lead on this. We're doing this, 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 and that. That's great. Other issues, it's kind of like, well, you know, I want this. Goodbye. And then you don't hear from him. He doesn't come out and say, all right, and here's how we're going to lead on this. And I think that's one thing that has been the difference, as far as I'm concerned with the president, is he doesn't step up and lead on issues like this. He doesn't come up and say, all right, you know, I believe so strongly in this that we're going to do this, this, and this. And we're introducing a bill that does this, and I'm going to be working with both sides of the debate. I'm going to be, and we're going to come up with a solution for this. You don't see that from the president. You just see 77 cents on the dollar, and we need to fix it. Uh-huh.
Okay, how are we going to fix it?
Yeah, I mean, okay, solutions, please. Yeah, and I would like to hear your angles on this, too, just to get a glimpse of where you really think we are. Because I think with a story like this, there are solutions to be had. But we need to get past all the rhetoric of, well, it's 77 cents on the dollar. Well, if you look at it in a certain way, yeah. If you're comparing teachers with CEOs,
mm-hmm,
or teachers with congressmen or whatever. But if you're comparing apples to apples, it closes down to a 5-cent gap. And this was according to census figures, which is what the president was gauging on. Now, there's still a gap there. And I think there are ways to solve that problem. And I'd like to hear your views on it. Here's the phone numbers if you'd like to give us a call today. 382-4280 is the local number. If you are just outside the local area and you'd still like to make a call, how about toll-free for you? We'll make it easy, 877-382-4280 or 80373. That is the number if you don't have time for the phone call, you want to text us your ideas. That's another way to do it, and you can go that way as well. Now, I think, you know, there are simple ways to look at this from a company standpoint. If you're running a business and you're saying, all right, well, we want to believe in equal pay and fair pay and that kind of thing, you start off equal, which makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
You just say, all right, we're not going to hire any differently based on men or women or that kind of thing. And I've been involved in hiring situations before. And I can tell you any time that I've done it, there's not been a difference there. It's like, oh, okay, well, there's a woman interested in the job and a man interested. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We'll go hunt for the best, most qualified person, and we'll hire that person. And that's got to be the bottom line. And you can't sit there and go, okay, the best, most qualified person is a woman, so now, how about $5,000 less? That's not a good thing.
No, not a good thing at all.
And I don't think it's happening quite as much as some of the studies will say. But if you're really concerned about that as a business, you make that part of the deal that, you know, when we hire based on what the resume says, how qualified they are, and that kind of thing. You know, the interesting thing about this, you know, you reflect on, and, you know, the next presidential election, we've had the possibility exist that Hillary Clinton would run, a potential first female president.
Mm-hmm.
And people make a big deal out of that, and I kind of think, you know what? We'll get a female president when one runs that people want to vote for.
Yeah.
And people want to vote, you hope anyway, not based on the gender of a person, but based on what qualifications they have.
Yeah, not going to be like, oh, she's a woman, I'm not going to vote for her. I'll just vote for the man, even though I don't agree with anything he says.
Now, there will be people that are different.
Yes.
I think about, and this was last station I was with, I had a show like this one, and we had a guy call in all the time. And we talked about this, and he said on the air in front of all the listeners that that the presidency is a man's job. You can imagine that, you know, we got quite a few calls after that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there are people out there that still believe that. Oh, it's a man's job, and the women need to do this and that. Okay, yeah, there's still people out there that believe that. And are some of them in charge of things and hire people? I suppose so. But I don't think it's as big an issue as what is made in some of these studies. Now, still, if this one study came out and said, all right, one-third, there's still a gap there amongst a third of all of these situations that we looked at, well, then, yeah, there might be something to look at. But you also have to look at the source of the study and that kind of thing as well. This is a study that is put out by a group that advances women and women's rights and that kind of thing. There's no problem with that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also like to see some studies from independent groups that say, all right, we're going to look at this based on a case-by-case, business-by-business, organization-by-organization kind of thing. That kind of painstaking work just doesn't take place these days.
No.
Nobody's willing to do that because, let's face it, it's more interesting to come out and say, 77 cents of every dollar. I don't think it works as well when you dig into the facts a little bit better. To pull out numbers like that.
Yeah.
Because the numbers end up skewing a little bit differently. So if you want to talk about this, you can feel free to do so. We'll continue ahead. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, as we continue. Fifty-four degrees in Kalamazoo, 328. Jeremy Lawrence with you at 590 WKZO, talking about the wage gap between men and women. We've been chatting about a recent study that said right after graduation that there is an earnings difference immediately. Now, one of the things that I brought up earlier was the differences in choices among majors and that kind of thing. And one of the things that this was a list of majors that was compiled by Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce. The 10 top college majors in terms of making money, 9 of the 10 are dominated by men. I mean, you've got petroleum engineering, 87% of those that major in that graduate with it, men. Chemical engineering, 72%. Naval architecture and marine engineering, 97% men. The only one of those on the list where women overrun men on this is pharmacy, pharmaceutical sciences, and administration. That's only 48% male. So there's slightly more women in that particular one.
Mm-hmm.
Now you look at the bottom 10, and these are all the majors you hear about. Don't major in this. Don't go into work in this. Early childhood education, social work, drama and theater arts, communication disorders, sciences and services, women, 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 women. All of those. The only thing on the list where women do not dominate is theology and religious vocations. 34% women. So that one is a lot of men.
Yes.
So this is the kind of thing that makes the gap right there. It's the kind of thing that if you dig deeper into it, you learn a little bit more about the issue, then you realize, oh, wait a minute. There's a story behind that. There's a little bit more than what you might see. So food for thought. As we continue ahead, we've got to talk about the weather. We're going to do that here in just a little while. Bob's going to be taking care of that for us, and then we're going to chat with you about education funding. That's coming your way straight ahead. We'll be right back. 3:39, 54 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Reminder, if you are just joining us here a little bit later, we're going to be giving away some tickets to go see that brand new movie. It's out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Draft Day. It's got Kevin Costner in it. It's all about the NFL, so if you are a football nut, I'll just see you there because it's going to be a good movie. I'm going to be enjoying this one likely this weekend. I don't know if it'll be definitively this weekend, but I do intend on watching this.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see this one as well.
So we're going to be giving away tickets for that a little bit later, so you'll want to keep listening for your opportunity to get some passes to go see this. And a little later on, we're going to be talking about education funding. There have been some calls for more state money for education. But does it solve the problem? We'll dig into it here in just a little bit. Before we get to all of that, though, we are going to be talking a little bit of weather because, you know what? I don't know about you, but I'd like to know if we're going to be seeing these 50-degree temperatures for quite some time. I mean, I guess the one hint that I've got to all of this that spring might finally have arrived is Bob Larson. I have seen spring flowers start.
You
to
have?
Come. I have. Just
and not,
in a,
and not in a floral shop?
No. No, these have actually been out. They're actually right outside my apartment complex.
Okay.
So we're starting to see, I don't know if it's daffodils or what, they're usually the first ones. So I'm thinking spring, well, it might finally be taking hold. Am I right?
Yes, you are correct. Now, you asked about it. We're speculating. I wonder if we'll see these 50-degree readings for a while. And the answer is no.
Oh, okay.
And you know why? Because by Thursday, it's 60-degree readings, not 50.
This is the kind of stuff I like.
See that?
All right. We're heading in the right direction.
Right, right. And last week, Jeremy, you were asking me about the could there be a 70 in our future? And, of course, I was a wise guy and said, sure, by mid-May,
mm-hmm.
Or something to that effect. But certainly at that point, it wasn't going to happen in the upcoming 3 to 5 day forecast. But the idea was that maybe by late in the upcoming week, which is now this week, we had a shot. And I can tell you that we do have a shot to at least come close to 70 three different times within the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday is one of them. Saturday is another. And maybe Monday, as long as that next front that comes in is slow. If it's fast, forget about Monday, because I do believe that after Monday next week, it gets chilly for a while. In the short term and in the medium term, it's going to be mild and getting even warmer.
Now, I have to ask you to define chilly when you say that, because, I mean, chilly in January is a little different than chilly in April.
We're going to go back to, for a couple of days, highs in the 40s and lows and probably in the 20s.
Okay. Yeah, you hate the lows, but 40s I think we can all handle.
Right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, speaking of lows in the 20s, as soon as tomorrow night, we could be looking at upper 20s, albeit briefly before it warms up Wednesday and Thursday.
So you might end up with some frost on the windshield.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We're not done with that yet.
Okay. Well, you know, I think we can all handle that. We've got the scrapers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But all of this talk about weather brings us to our word for the day, which is
encouraging.
It is encouraging. It is. I'm feeling excited about this.
Yeah, as I will often do when I come in on a Monday and just take a look at the broad picture for the next week or so, I was encouraged by what I saw, that even though it's not particularly pleasant here in the short term, a little rain in the area at times tonight, at least south of here, not so much to our north, and still fairly cloudy tomorrow, I am encouraged by the warm-up that's coming for Thursday through Saturday and probably reaching its peak of maybe Monday next week before it gets chilly. But and there will be showers from time to time along the way. Once we get past tonight and tomorrow, not so much. I think Wednesday and Thursday are fine, but there is the possibility of showers on about Sunday. But all in all, I am indeed encouraged by the weather pattern that it's is unfolding.
Now, Bob, I did want to ask, as we talk about this, I keep getting the, because I have the AccuWeather app on my iPhone, and it keeps giving me these alerts that says, well, we've got flooding advisories and things like that. Will flooding be much of an issue for us at all?
A lot of these advisories, because some of the streams are just running above flood stage from nothing else more than just snow melt and everything.
Okay.
And the fact that the ground is still frozen, it's hard, you know, running out of place to put water. But I think overall we're going to be fine. I don't see any serious rains coming soon. The worst-case scenario would be like a storm that comes along and brings us 1 to 2 inches of rain to go along with the warm-up, and that's going to be an issue. But for the most part, unless you live in a very flood-prone area right next to one of these streams or something, I think it's going to be okay.
Okay. All right. So looking at some 50s and that kind of thing, a little bit of rain here and there,
yeah.
but very spring-like.
Right, mid-30s tonight, 52 tomorrow. I mentioned tomorrow night's chilly. It clears out, and a clear sky, light wind takes us below freezing, maybe upper 20s. Then we turn the corner, mid and upper 50s Wednesday, well into the 60s on Thursday, still about 60 Friday, upper 60s again on Saturday.
Okay, so possibly could break out the Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I have a closet full of them, sadly. So
use at your own discretion.
I guess.
You're going to have to wear those in here sometime.
Oh, it's my intent at some point. See, yeah. Bob's thanking his lucky stars. I can't see this. That's good. You know. So, well, Bob, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Bob letting us know that, you know what? Spring might actually finally, believe it or not, be here.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I've been waiting such a long time for this.
You know, and I did see some of those daffodils poking. They're not blooming yet, but you can see them poking
and
up a little
I
bit.
I saw some flowers in my yard and in my neighbor's yard as well.
So, you know, it's happening. We didn't think it was going to happen this year, but it is.
Yes.
So it's good news. All right. Talking education spending with you as we continue ahead. Keep it here. And we continue ahead here on the program. Jeremy Lawrence with you on 590 WKZO. It's 3:47 in your afternoon. I wanted to dig into education funding and spending and that kind of thing because I think it is worth spending a little time on. The one thing you constantly hear when you talk about schools and education is that, well, we just need more money. That was something that, and on our website, we've got this from earlier today, where Dr. Michael Rice, he's the superintendent in the area, he says we need some more state money for our schools. He says none of the budgets now on the table in Lansing, even with the promise of additional revenue, do enough. Now, I wanted to dig into this because you hear an awful lot of a call for, well, we need to spend more money on this. If we just had more money, if we had more money, how many times have you heard, we just need more money?
A lot.
Exactly. I say it all the time, but it doesn't happen. But anyway, but the bottom line, you hear that a lot when you're talking about education spending. Well, the interesting thing is comparing now and the kind of spending that is done on education, you see a huge, huge increase in the amount of money that is spent on education in this country. So we've largely answered the call of, yeah, here's more money. Go after it. So you would think if more money is the answer to the problem, that we would have seen big results in the last several years. Well, this is according to a report put out by the Cato Institute, and they examined the impact of 40 years of K through 12 spending on SAT scores. They said that, you know, spending has gone up across the board on education, but the results are that the average SAT score, and they've adjusted it for who participates and who does what and that kind of thing. So you're comparing apples to apples in this. And they're mm-hmm. saying the average SAT scores for the entire nation fell over 40 years by an average of 3%. While inflation-adjusted spending per student zipped up 120% on average, more than double. Basically saying that you're spending more money, but you're getting less results.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you, and I'm not an expert on any of the things that have come out of late. You know, we've talked about and you hear a lot about Common Core. If you look on the web, there's a ton of stuff, both pro and con, to Common Core, and we've seen a lot of that. I'm not here to talk about Common Core. I'm just not educated enough in it to be able to say good or bad. I don't know. And I think saying I don't know doesn't necessarily say I can't necessarily talk about spending in education in general. I think I don't know is beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. To be able to say, all right, I don't know, but I'm going to look into it and find out. And I intend to. But some of the things that we've seen in education are really kind of startling to me. One of the things that I got an opportunity to do recently, because I've got a kid he's going to be going into kindergarten this next year. So we got a chance to tour a school to kind of see, all right, what's going on? You know, is he going to be able to plug in? Is he ready? That kind of thing. But one of the things that we saw is they like to display their work and that kind of thing. And as we were going around, we saw writing posted on the walls from some of the students in these classes. Mm-hmm. And it was pointed out saying, well, here's the writing, and you'll see that it's really different. Some students are better at it than others. Well, of course, you know that. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But then it was brought up that, well, we let them go at their own pace. And I'm thinking to myself, now, wait a minute. This might be the problem right there. And there's a lot more going on, but this might be part of the problem. Why are we not challenging students to do well all the way across the board?
Mm-hmm.
And say, here's the standard of excellence. Shoot for it. And you realize that with a lot of these kids, there's going to be different results. Because, newsflash, we're all different.
Yeah, we all learn at different paces.
Mm-hmm. And in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while some people will learn just by soaking up the education, that was sort of my way of doing it. Particularly in college, I would just sit there in class and just soak it in. I took notes and that kind of thing. But a lot of the information I just soaked in naturally.
Yeah.
For other people, they learn by doing. Dig in there with their hands. All right, let me get my hands around it. Let me do it. And then I get it.
Yeah.
And while I'm not that kind of a person who learns that way, there are people out there that are very close to me that do learn that way. I get it. And I'm on board with that. There's different ways of doing that. But at the same time, there needs to be that here's the standard of excellence. Here's what we need to rise to meet. And instead, you get kind of this sense of, well, for this student, here's the standard of excellence. It's up here, but for this student, the standard of excellence is down here.
Yeah, they've all got to be really treated the same. I mean, they've all have the same scale grade. You can't say, well, this is an A for you, but for that person, that's an A for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
not really encouraging them anything.
Well, and I get the idea that, okay, well, we don't want people to feel bad about themselves. And okay, that's fine. But the bottom line is, how is a person going to feel challenged to grow themselves, to really produce excellence, if you don't give them a high standard of excellence to meet?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't roll that out and say, all right, here it is, shoot for it, and you have a teacher that's able to say, all right, you shot for it, you got pretty close, what you need to do is improve on this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, you're there. And for other students, okay, I'm seeing you have a problem. Let's sit down and dig into this. Let's figure out what's going on here. Let's help to get you to rise up to that level to join your peers that are doing well. You know, and I don't have a problem with that because, yeah, okay, you feel a little bad because you got a bad grade, but guess what? That's called motivation.
Yeah.
That's called, I don't want to go home with this on the grade card. I don't want, even if you don't have somebody at home that cares about it, to be able to say, I don't personally want this. I want to rise up and be excellent.
Yeah, I want to get better so I can have a good education. That way I can go to a college and then get a good degree
mm-hmm.
and get
mm-hmm.
a good job someday.
Well, and that's the ultimate thing. I think a lot of the things that are out there, and we could dig into it for hours and hours talking about this, because there's a lot of different standards that are out there. Well, they do this, we'll do that, and go at their own pace and that kind of thing. Well, go at your own pace is fine, but maybe instead, standard of excellence needs to be raised. And the other part of it that I think is, you know, I can remember, and tail end of the time I was in school, things started to change a little bit, and I saw that. But for the most part, when I was in school, there were things that were laid out that, okay, you need to learn how to read well.
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide well.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know your history well. these were the basic things that were emphasized. But now, are they so emphasized? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on the school you're in.
Yeah.
And I'm not making a commentary on any local school. I just don't have enough experience with them to be able to say, this one's doing well and that one's bad. And that's not what we're trying to do here. What I think is we need to be able to challenge students to excellence. And I don't think that the solution is, let's just throw money at the problem. Because throwing money at the problem, for 40 years we've done that, and SAT scores are going down. That tells you some things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the other things that will be brought up, well, sometimes parents don't care. Yeah, I get that. Sometimes they don't. And for those parents, shame on you. You should care. You absolutely should care.
Yeah, they're your kids. They're the future.
Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing, too. And I've not noticed this in schools here because I've not been through a conference-type setting. But in schools that my kid has gone to around the country, there's been this sense that you go in for a conference and it's not, here's where he's doing well, here are his struggle areas that we need to work on. It's more of, let's put on a show for the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Let's show them how things are going really well here. And I remember sitting through this one time and I went, that's great. What's he struggling with? What can we help you with? What can we work on? And eventually we got there. But it was because I asked questions as a parent, because as a parent, I want my kids to do well.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be able to step up and achieve and strive for excellence. And you know, yes, when the grade cards come home, we go, all right, what's it look like? Looks good, looks good, looks good. And part of it is, you know, I've got my older kid. He's very devoted to excellence in education and wants to do well. But there have been times when he's been class clown and that kind of thing. And I want to hear about this because I want to challenge him to do well. You know, and that's the parents' part of it. But I think the other part of it is, you know what, don't put a show on for me. Step up and tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I want to help. And I think, and some teachers do it well. Some teachers will step up and say, you know what, I care about what the parents are bringing to the table. They're part of the mix. They need to know exactly what's going on in the classroom. And bring it on, please. And other teachers that my kids had over the years has been more along the lines of parents are an annoyance and I want them to go away. And I don't like that.
No.
You know, because then when I ask questions, it's almost kind of like, all right, I'll tell you what we're doing. Here it is. You get one sentence and life moves on. And that's one of the things that I think we need to look at when we talk about more education spending. What are we spending the money on now that we're not getting the results out of? And if you break it down and go back to 1972 figures, 1976 figures, whatever, you start looking at those figures and say, what were we doing then better than what we're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Because the numbers don't lie. They tell you, all right, we may not be doing as well. We're going to continue to discuss this. I want to take your phone calls as well and your texts. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373. You can text us your comments as we continue ahead discussing this in the next hour. Jeremy Lawrence with you on WKZO. We gotta go, gotta go.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.